Good morning, everybody. Welcome to worship today. Nice to have you here. Lots of smiling faces. The most beautiful day of the fall. Tomorrow we have freeze warnings. Congratulations, Jim. 14th, did I hear? Then Lake of the Woods, fishing. Is Bob here? Bob's not here. Bob Carlson. Ah, I hear you caught the Leviathan. I told you, we gave him a blessing 2 weeks ago. He didn't catch, come in, yeah. 12 pounds? 12 pounder. When we make fishers of fish here, and we'll talk about fishers of men in a moment. Let's take a moment and greet one another. If you don't know who's sitting in front of you or behind you, introduce yourself, please. Oh, I'm glad to see all you Northerners on that Highway 18. Yeah, yeah. Very special blessing for you today for coming the long way around. It's nice to have you here. A couple more weeks and we should be done. Say the Jamboree was the last two nights. Everybody who came, I think, had a wonderful time. Thanks, Darwin and Valerie. You guys really did it. But I think we should give an award to the person who enjoys it the most. The award this year goes to our friend, Dennis Meidlinger. I've never seen a guy who can sing with his heart and soul and act with everything he throws in. He's a, you know, he's in the wrong place on the north side of that lake. He ought to be down at Chanhassen. A couple of announcements. Annual reports were given out today. We'd like you to take one per family, okay? In 2 weeks' time, the 30th of September, we have our annual meeting. There's one service at 9 o'clock, and the annual meeting will follow. So by constitution, it is hereby announced. So please join us. We've got a wonderful congregation. We do some great work. And as long as we keep our eyes focused on the Lord, try to be His hands in the world, we're heading the right direction. So put that on your agendas 2 weeks from today. I got an amen out of someone here. Was that you, Dale? Dale Woodrow is here with the Gideons, and we're going to invite him to share a little word about the Gideons in a few moments. Turkey dinner out at Bethlehem? Is it Bethlehem?
Bethesda.
Bethesda of Rossburg. Is Rossburg the one on 210?
47.
That's Rossburg.
Rossburg. Okay. Little country church.
Okay.
Great.
Bethesda, Rossburg, wherever that is. On your way to Aiken.
Oh, it's today? 11 o'clock it starts.
11 o'clock.
And they even have apple dessert. It's wonderful. Go.
Go. Go and do likewise. I think that's all we need to announce. We'll get out of here in time for coffee and be first in line for turkey dinner. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, you are a wonderful God, and you have blessed us so richly with fellowship and caring and concern and love and joy and peace. You've promised your presence in our lives. Some gather this morning with hurting hearts, mourning the loss of loved ones, fighting physical problems, worried about kids or parents. And yet we gather because we can find hope and direction here. And so we ask for your Spirit as we gather around your holy table. Fill us with you this morning as we say our prayers and sing these wonderful hymns. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Dale Woodrow comes from the Gideons. Why don't you share what the work of the Gideons is? Nice to have you here.
Good morning. I'm here today with my wife, Mary. We live up in Aiken, and we like to bike to all of our Gideon churches. This morning, it was really a challenge. It was cold this morning. So if I stand up here shaking, it's not so much that I'm nervous. It's just that I'm just plain haven't warmed up yet. A little bit about the Gideons. last February, Gideons went to the Philippines. They handed out 1.6 million Bibles in a matter of 2 weeks. That's the most the Gideons have ever handed out in a two-week period. But let me tell you about one Bible. The year is 1890. The place is Korea. At that time, three men from Korea had gone into China to work. And while they were in China, they received God's word. They got the gospel. But they knew back in Korea, the gospel was not allowed. It was totally forbidden at that time. So they decided, how are they going to sneak the gospel back to Korea? Well, one man took a Bible, stuck it in his luggage, and headed for the border. Now, when he got to the border, they went through his luggage, they found his Bible, and they killed him. So it got back to the other two men. One man took a Bible, he tore all the pages out of the Bible. Then he laced them all through his luggage to try to hide them. Well, he got to the border. They went through his luggage. They found his papers. Figured out it was a Bible, and they killed him. Well, word got back to the third man. He said, how am I going to get God's word into Korea? So he took the Bible. He took all the pages out, and he folded them into a thin strip. And then he tied them all in knots. And then he took all of his long strands and he made a big, long rope. And then he tied his rope around his luggage and he headed for the border. He got to the border. They untied his rope. They went through his luggage and they found nothing. He said, you're okay. Go ahead. He got to his village. He took his rope apart, strip by strip, knot by knot, ironed all the pages back out, put his Bible back together. 10 years later, the missionaries finally got into Korea, and they found out that God's word had gotten there before them. So never underestimate the power of God's word. A little bit about the Gideons. Last year, 78 million New Testaments and Bibles, 78 million in 1 year were replaced by the Gideons. They're done in the New King James Version. They're done in 93 different languages, 194 different countries. There's 300,000 men and women working for the Gideons around the world. Now, if you're so moved to give to the Gideons, I will be in the back of the church with an open Bible. You can make the check out to the Gideons, or you can pay cash. Now, we also have what's called Gideon cards. It's instead of placing your money in a card company, we have Gideon cards that are free to you, and you can use them in memory of, thinking of you, in recognition of. In this way, instead of placing money in a card company, you're placing money in Bibles. One other testimony I want to give you, this is a local testimony. I received this from a lady here in Malmo. She said when she was going to college in Chicago, she enjoyed pranks, and she would steal Gideon Bibles out of hotel rooms. And then she'd mail them to her non-believing friends. Well, it just so happened that her non-believing friends started to become believers. And what did they do? They went back to her and converted her. She always kind of tells me that she was stealing Bibles, and I will say, you weren't stealing Bibles, you were just placing Bibles. So three things to remember about the Gideons. 100% of everything you give goes for Bibles. All the other expense is absorbed by the 300,000 members. Remember that we are an extension for you. We are here to help you place Bibles around the world. And think of the Gideon cards when you need a card. In closing, I want to give you a personal testimony. 2 years ago, Mary's mother, my mother-in-law, she had fallen and hurt herself, and she had hurt her neck. And she was in the St. Cloud Hospital. Well, one day we went to visit her, and Mary was snooping around, and she went through the drawers, and she found a Gideon Bible. She said, here, Dale, look. And I was holding and looking at it, and her mother looked at me. She's an 89-year-old woman. She says, oh, that's right up your alley. And she smiled. And she looked right at me, and she says, you know, I hope I'm going to heaven. Well, here's an 89-year-old woman. She's so deep in her faith, she probably went to Mass every day for the last 20 years, and yet she asked me, I hope I'm going to heaven. Well, there's an open door. The Holy Spirit took over. Said, Mom, let's look at God's promises. So I opened up the Gideon Bible, and I looked at Romans 10:9. If you confess with your lips and believe in your heart that Christ is the Lord, you will have eternal life. And I said, let's look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. Whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Well, we didn't need to say anymore. We just smiled at each other. So God's word is living and active, and I want to thank you for letting me come here today.
Our opening hymn this morning is hymn 805. Let's rise during the singing of the last verse. Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. We open our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us confess together. God, give us your wisdom, so we might choose what serves your purpose for your world. Give us direction as we walk the uncertain journey of faith in your name. Forgive our sinful condition, which pulls us away from you and the life you give. Forgive us our poor choices. Forgive our short-sightedness. Forgive our unwillingness to follow. Forgive our attitudes of self-sufficiency and our lack of love. Give us wisdom and direction as we walk this adventure called faith. Our God is a great God and knows our every need. God knows the wilderness we wander through. God forgives our choices, our short-sightedness, our unwillingness, our self-sufficiency, and our lack of love. God in Christ Jesus forgives our sinful condition and promises love will replace hate and joy will replace despair. God gives us all we need for this journey, and today we celebrate with joyful expectation. God's grace be with you today and always.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, through suffering and rejection, you bring forth our salvation. and by the glory of the cross you transform our lives. Grant that for the sake of the gospel we may turn from the lure of evil, take up our cross, and follow your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated as we invite the choir to sing their praises.
Is from James 3, verses 1 through 12. This text uses various images to illustrate how damaging and hurtful the way we speak to and about others can be. Not only are we in control our speech, but what we say and how we say it is to reflect our faith. Not many of you should be teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed, has been tamed, by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. The first reading. Psalm 116, verses 1 through 9. will read responsively. Where is the bold? There is a bold R. Please read, "I will walk in the presence of the Lord." I love the Lord who has heard my voice and listened to my supplication. For the Lord has given ear to me whenever I call. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I came to grief and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray you, save my life. I will walk in the presence of the Lord. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord watches over the innocent. I was brought low, and God saved me. Turn again to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt well with you. For you have rescued my life from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. I will walk in the presence of the Lord in the land of the living. I will walk in the presence of the Lord. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel this morning is found in the 8th chapter of St. Mark, beginning with the 27th verse. The story provides the turning point in Mark's gospel. Peter is the first human being in the narrative to acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah, but he cannot accept that as the Messiah, Jesus will have to suffer. Moreover, Jesus issues a strong challenge to all by connecting discipleship and the cross. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who were ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn 611.
Thank you. found in him my star, my sun. And in that light of life I'll walk, still traveling days are gone.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You folks are sounding really good today. Music's great. Sing that song really well, Harlow. We got to get you up here. 79 years old, right? 78? Still got that voice of a young man. A man from the United States was on a trip, went to Australia. When he was there, he took a cab, and the cabbie asked him, did you come here to die? The guy was kind of upset. Did I come to die? So he says, excuse me? And the cabbie says, did you come to die or yesterday? Did you get it, Bruce? Well, our gospel lesson today, Jesus is breaking it to his disciples that he has come to die. And he's not speaking Australian, huh? It's one of the most famous passages in the Word. Jesus and his disciples are in the vicinity of Caesarea Philippi, and when Jesus asked them, who do people say that I am? They say, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're one of the prophets. And then Jesus asks, but who do you say that I am? Peter says, well, you're the Messiah. And Jesus warns them that not to tell anybody else. Then Jesus begins to teach them that he came to suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and that he's going to suffer, and that he's going to die, and that 3 days later he'll rise again. This is horrifying news to the disciples. You know, they loved Jesus. They didn't want to hear that he was going to die. And he's not only their teacher, he's their friend. They've traveled with him for a number of years already. And then, of course, one of his best friends, Peter, says, Lord, don't be talking like that. We don't want to hear you talk like that. Don't say things like that, Master. It's discouraging to hear talk like that. And Jesus calls Peter and says, get thee behind me, Satan, for that's the talk of man, not of God. And Jesus calls the crowd to him and his disciples, and he says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life is going to lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's, they're the folks who are going to find it. Now this passage ought to make us a bit uncomfortable. Jesus came to die for us, to die for you, to die for me. That's how much he loves us. In the words of Max Lucado, nails didn't hold God to a cross. Love did. His love, without a doubt, can save all people forever. Jesus died for us. So what do we do? We hear that story. What do we do with that in our response to that kind of love? Someone who would die for us. Truth is, if you think about it, most of us could answer, we don't do much. We don't really do much when someone is going to lay down their life and die for us. I was reading a story a while back. A teacher in Pennsylvania was suspended without pay for 1 year because she had worn a cross on a necklace. This was the third time they had warned her. Finally, they suspended her for 1 year for having this religious object. And as I thought about that, I said, what significance does a cross on a necklace have for us? Is it a decoration that we wear, or is it a declaration of our faith? What does it mean? Does it mean we're willing to die or to give our life as Jesus did, or is it just a piece of jewelry? So I was thinking about that, and I asked my pastor friends about the cross. It seems like to me that in the church we don't talk about the cross like we once did, huh? It's a hard sell when we talk about sacrificing for Jesus, sacrificing for God. Even for Christians, to ask people to sacrifice is a tough deal these days. I was reading the Week magazine. Every time I mention the Week magazine, I get paid a nickel. Story in there. Talking about 50 years ago, there was absolutely no market for cushions on pews. No one ever bought a pew without a cushion. And today, it's become a multi-million dollar affair because not only do we put cushions on pews, but they put in chairs with cushions, and then they put, now some of the megachurches are putting stadium chairs. I suppose they got drink cups and everything like they do. Stadium, and it's a multi-million dollar business these days. So I was thinking about that, and I asked my pastor friends, what do you think about soft seats? And one guy said, well, it's a hard, cold, cruel world out there, and we're called to be hospitable, so shouldn't we make people comfortable when they come to church? Well, yeah, that's okay. That sounds all right. Someone said, I love the Lord. There's no reason to hurt, you know, for an hour when I come to church. So I should be able to sit on a cushioned pew. Yeah, I guess so. I guess I agree. I don't believe that a hard pew ever saved anybody's life, you know, or saved anybody's soul. But I think that this question of soft or hard pews is a metaphor of what's happening to the church today. The idea of taking up a cross and following Jesus has been practically banished from our thoughts. Finding personal fulfillment and satisfaction in our lives, that's taken the place. That's where we focus our hearts and minds these days. In December, we bemoan the fact that many people seem to have taken Christ out of Christmas. What we really need to be concerned about, I think, as the church, is the growing tendency of us to take the cross out of Christianity, out of Christian living. Christ died for us. That's what the cross means. He died because he loved us so much. He cared for us so much. And what have we given in return? How have we responded to his love? University of Wisconsin historian Thomas Reeves is really put off by the state of religious belief and service these days. This is what he writes. He says, Christianity in modern America is in large part innocuous. It tends to be easy, upbeat, convenient, and compatible. It does not require self-sacrifice, discipline, humility. There is little guilt and no punishment, and the payoff in heaven is virtually certain. He's saying it's really easy today. All you got to do is give lip service to saying, I believe in your promise, the gift of heaven, and we go on our merry way. Is he wrong? I've been going out to the West Coast Mountains, Cascades, the last 4 years. I met a fellow out there the first year I went named Ed Marquardt. He's a pastor. We've been meeting and sharing stories. Last year he told me a story. He was on a cruise in the Mediterranean. He was going through the footsteps, missionary steps of St. Paul and stopping. On his boat or ship, was a fellow by the name of Richard Wurmbrand. Wurmbrand was a Christian, but he grew up Jewish, and he was arrested and tortured in Romania for his faith by the communists. And so this guy carried lots of scars and lots of baggage, but when he, you know how you share tables, they assigned him tables, and he met Wurmbrand. Wurmbrand was a very personable, witty, fine storyteller, twinkle in his eye. And during dinner, he looked over at one of the parishioners that my friend Ed was traveling with and asked, is that a good pastor? And the parishioner kind of, oh, man, I don't want to say in front of him. He said, yeah, he's a good pastor. Well, why do you say he's a good pastor? And then he thought again and he says, well, he gives good sermons. And then Wurmbrand looked right at Marquardt and asked the question, but does he make good disciples? And in that moment, my friend Ed said, Wurmbrand was the angel of the Lord to me, because the purpose of God for all pastors, the purpose of God for all sermons is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. People who love Jesus Christ, who follow Jesus Christ, who call Jesus Christ their Lord. That's what we are called to do, is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Not make church members, not make Sunday schools, not make buildings. These can all become ends in themselves. Pastors, we're supposed to be making disciples of Jesus Christ. That is what pastors are supposed to be about. When Ed was telling me that, I kind of had a pierce in my heart, too. I think Wormbrand was right. I think Marquardt was right. That's why I have the privilege to stand before you every Sunday to it's not to entertain you, not to tell Australian jokes. It's to encourage you to walk in the steps of the Master, to help you be better disciples of Jesus Christ. And so our lesson today, our gospel lesson, tells us that discipleship, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, is about self-denial. Jesus turned to his disciples and to the crowd and asked them, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life has to lose their life in me. And then they're going to find themselves." One last story. This week we remembered the events of 9/11 and 2001. There were a lot of beautiful stories of sacrifice and heroism that came out of there, but one that I'm reminded of this week was the story of a guy named Ron Fazio. He was vice president of a company that was on the 99th floor of Tower Number 2. Tower Number 1 had been hit by a plane. When he saw that and heard that, he announced over his whole floor of his company that everybody had to get out right now. Their building was untouched at that time. Everybody's got to get out. And he held the door and got everybody out safely. The last they ever saw of Ron Fazio was he was holding the door on the bottom of Tower 2. And he was passing his cell phone over to someone who needed it when the tower fell on top of him. Never found his body. His wife and kids, since that time, have formed a foundation. It's called Hold the Door for Others, Incorporated. And this is what his son, Rob, said. He said, "My dad was a quiet, humble man who died after holding the door open for others. As a family, we're trying to do the same thing, to help people move through the pain so they can begin to dream again." As I think about that story, that's the difference between wearing a cross and bearing a cross, the willingness to give your life for others. Please understand, I'm not against wearing a cross, but I am against wearing them if you've never thought through the implications of what that cross means. In a sense, it represents Jesus holding the door open so that you and I can walk through and find life. Discipleship is about self-denial. And so discipleship begins when you acknowledge Jesus as your Savior and Lord. It's so sad that so many Christians view a decision for Christ as the end of their journey. Now they're accepted. Now they can confidently say that they're in halfway through heaven's door. But today I want to remind you, the day you acknowledge that Christ is your Savior is only the day you begin the journey of faith. It's at that moment you begin the process of turning yourself into Christ's image. We are Christ's hands in the world today. So the work isn't done. Suppose if there's a question to think about is, have you found God's purpose for your life? Have you acknowledged Christ as your Savior? Are you opening doors for others through your words and through your deeds? "Whoever wants to be my disciple," said the Master, "must deny himself, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake and for the gospel's will find it." Amen. This time we'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering. Will the congregation please rise? Let us turn to the offertory prayer on page 4. Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. As disciples of Christ Jesus called to love and serve all people, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Lord, you are the Messiah. Grant us the willingness and courage to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow you for the sake of the gospel. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, the heavens declare your glory. When hurricanes and floods come, keep your people safe from all harm and danger. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of justice, you are gracious and righteous. Hear the voices of all who cry out to you for an end to violence and warfare, hatred and racism, hunger and homelessness. Lord, in your mercy. God, you are full of compassion. Bring hope and healing to those who are grieving, lonely, anxious, or sick. We especially remember in our prayers Gloria Christensen and Ivan Peterson and those who we name in our hearts before you. Lord, in your mercy. Abiding Spirit, you are the love that binds this assembly into the body of Christ. May our words and deeds be a faithful witness to you. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessings of these past days, for the joy and love that was felt during our jamboree, for the many blessings upon our family and friends, for walking with us these days. We pray you'll travel with Janine and Jim and Carolyn as they go to Russia this week. We pray, O Lord, that you might comfort Jan Aho. She mourns the loss of her brother. So walk with us, Lord, and allow us to travel with you these days. Risen Christ, you have rescued our life from death. May we continue to walk in your presence with all the faithful who have gone before us, until that day when you come again in glory. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
prayers, faithful God, and renew us by your Spirit, that we may joyfully love and serve you and one another, through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Amen.
Let's join in confessing our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come and judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And so we gather at God's holy table, ever mindful of Christ's presence in our lives. As he gathered at his Last Supper with his disciples and with his family and friends, he took bread, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body. It's given for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those
who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The table is set. All are welcome at the table of our Lord. Today we will use unction, so we'll hand you the bread. Please dunk it in the wine or in the grape juice and receive the blood and bread of Christ. Please be seated. Will the congregation please rise? The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join in the prayer after communion. Let us pray. O God, our life, our strength, our food, we give you thanks for sustaining us
with the body and blood of your Son.
By your Holy Spirit, enliven us to be his body in the world, that more and more we will give you praise and serve your earth and its many peoples. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is 671.